planned another event that we had committed to, but we would have loved to have been with you folks down at the lake yesterday and had a wonderful fellowship time. I know you did. And I'm just shocked because a lot of places, you know, if they were to the lake on Saturday, you don't see them on Sunday. Thank you for coming. It's good to have you here, and I appreciate you. My wife's already said this, but we do appreciate Tim and Tracy and the Sloan family, Pastor Tim and my goodness, Rhonda. We go way back, and we're grateful to see the heart. She's always, always had a heart to usher in the presence of God, a heart of worship. She's always desired that, and I thank you. The gifts, and we were talking about songwriting and different things, and I was reminding her of a song that she wrote. I told my wife she wrote that one probably right before we came here to be their pastor or thereabouts. And Shirley's like, no, I don't think that she wrote that. I think she's saying, I said, Shirley, I'm telling you, she wrote that song. And so I'm happy to announce for you folks on live stream today, by way of live stream, thank you for joining us. I'm happy to announce my wife admitted today on October the 16th. Is it the 16th? Yes, in Lexington, South Carolina, I was right. So you don't get to hear that a lot, husbands. You're right, honey. I'm like, whoa, this is good. So I'm going to relish that, and I'm going to just enjoy this while I can. Hopefully I won't get haughty and too proud in that being right, because I'm sure I'll be wrong before the day's out. She'll let me know something. But I want to direct your attention, if we can, to 2 Timothy. I couldn't think of a better way to start this and to share with you than from a book that was written to Timothy, Timotheus, Pastor Tim. And someone was telling me some time ago, you know, Timothy told us in his word, and I'm like, Timothy said nothing. Paul told Timothy. What we're reading here is Paul's letter to this young evangelist, this young pastor, encouraging him. He lets him know in the first and second books of Timothy, he lets him know you've been gifted. You've been giving something precious. Don't let anyone snuff that out. Don't neglect the gift of God that you've been given. Don't think you're too young. Don't think that you're not important. You stand with a confidence in the Lord. And then you fan those flames. You don't neglect the flame. You don't neglect the gift. And then you fan that. You pour yourself to the point where you're saying, I remember when that gift was bestowed upon me. I remember, Paul, when you laid your hands upon me. And Paul is reminding him of that. But he also reminds him of something else. And it's already been stated, and no one knew what I was going to be speaking except my wife and I. And but it's been stated today, and Rhonda said this during worship, about it's important for us to remember where we came from, but we're going forward. We're moving forward. And so I want to share for the next few moments, if I can, I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart today to stir us up by way of remembrance about moving from faith to faith, from faith to faith. I want to challenge us today to remember. Remember where we came from, remember where we are, and remember where we're going. Do you know where you're going? If this life should cease today, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? That's of utmost importance to me. It has been all of my life, from a child of 4 years old, being a seer and being gifted and poured into by the Holy Spirit at 4 years old, and at 8 years old, surrendering my life to Jesus Christ, knowing what it was. I preached in my at 4 years old. I preached to my family. I would stand up on the piano stool. I'd go to church, and we'd mimic everything they did. So we'd come home, and I'd get up there. My sister, my oldest sister, who's gone on to be with the Lord a few years ago, and was my age, 63 at the time, and I miss her dearly. And she would play the piano, and I'd get my brother Roger to take up the offering, whatever we could give. It's probably M&Ms or Skittles or something, you know, Tootsie Rolls or whatever. But we'd give as what we could as kids. And then I'd preach to them. I'd stand up on that piano stool at 4 years old, and I'd preach just, woo, hellfire and brimstone. That's all I knew. I told them where they were going to go if they didn't straighten up. Some of you older folks, you remember those days. That's what I did. And so then, you know, the same person that played the piano, the same person that received the offering, they had to come to the altar to get saved every service. Every service. And so the Lord dealt with my heart as a boy. It's been in me, not because my daddy was a preacher, but because my great-grandmother prayed for me. You see, I can trace it back, and it's probably even farther than my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother and grandfather. I can trace it back to where somebody in my life, I'm standing here through the prayers of someone else because someone poured their heart out before God. Now, here's something I'm going to challenge you families to pray about when you pray in remembering where we came from. Lord, I don't want, this is what I ask the Lord. Lord, may the Martin household never lack a family member to stand and serve in your presence. That's my heart's desire. Now it's flowed over into the Puckett household with our eldest daughter Jessica and Stephen and their family, and who are serving now, right now, as our support pastors, or I could say a substitute pastor at Somerville while we're here, and they're there taking care of business and worshiping and singing, all four of them doing the worship and singing, and he's bringing the word of God. So to God be the glory. And then it's flowed over into the Kors, K-O-O-R-S, the Kors household, with Brittany, our baby girl, and her husband Luke, who is pastoring in Indiana at Hopewell Baptist Church, and their children, little John, who plays the guitar and sings as well in worship. He has a heart of worship, sings all the time. And now little Adeline, Ray Marie, little Addie, I call her Rosie, and she's just a little thing, a couple years old, and she's running around. She's singing all the time. What are you saying? Pray that prayer over your children. When I hold those, and they do think, my grandchildren think I'm their play buddy, I'm their friend. I'll run out and, Poppy, if nobody else will, they know Papa will do it. So I've gotten Pawpaw, Papa, Poppy, and just here the other day, the smallest one, Pa. So I'll answer to any of that. I was hoping for G-Paw. They got G-Maw, and I was hoping for G-Paw. But, I'll take whatever they call me. That's cool. But they know if somebody's going to go out and dance in the rain with them, I'm the guy. If they're going to go out and get in a pool at 10 o'clock at night, if we're staying at a hotel traveling, they know who's going to cave in and go swimming with them. I'll do it. I'm the guy. I'm just a kid at heart. And I thank God from where I came from to where I am today. I know it's on the shoulders of many people I stand. Paul is reminding Timothy of this. He's giving thanks, and I want to give thanks to Pastor Tim and Tracy and their family. Thank you for all your years of service. Thank you. I knew God had something special for you. I had no idea you were going to be a pastor. You were going to be a preacher when you were a teenage boy running around Lexington, getting on my nerves. I had no idea God was going to use you, and now I'm like, oh, wow, God. Because I did the same thing. I was a young guy getting on everybody else's nerves, and God turned around and used me at the age of 13. At the age of 8, I was saved. At 13, I was baptized with Heaven, Sweet Holy Ghost, and fire, and with evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and was called into the ministry, scared to death. And I felt then like I feel now. But I know I realized what God told me. I said, God, you got the wrong guy. And he says, well, you won't let me use you. I'll just use somebody else. You're going to be the messenger. I am the message. I need a mouthpiece, and that's all you're going to be. I said, okay, God, if that's all I'm supposed to do is stand up here and be able to bring your word, I'll do my best to do that. And I've been doing that for 50 years now, and I'm still not a scholar. I am just a student. I'm learning the more every day. I learn so much more. Every day I glean so much more from His Word and from His promises and from His presence. He's an amazing God. He has a great future planned for you. Now, it's not a future without trouble. It's not a future without difficulties. But it's a future that you'll get through because of the faith you have in Him and the hope you have in Him. I think Jeremiah 11:29, it's not in my notes, but 11:29, where it talks about, I know my thoughts and my plans for you, says the Lord. I believe it's Jeremiah 29:11. I know my thoughts and my plans for you, says the Lord. It's thoughts to give you a future with a hope and a promise. But we don't realize exactly, young man, what he's talking about there. In the context, contextually, they're getting ready to go into captivity. They're getting ready to lose their what they feel is freedom. They get ready to lose that. And God is letting them know, here's where you're going. I'm going to carry you through it. And I want you to keep this hope in your heart while you're going through this exile and while you're going through what you feel is going to be rejection and that I've turned my face away from you. Here's what I want you to realize. My thoughts and my plans for you are for your best interest. And I have a good plan. If you'll follow it through and don't quit in the middle of it, you'll follow it through. It's going to be a future with a hope and a promise. Praise God. So in the middle of whatever you're going through, don't quit. Don't give up. Young people are checking out in life because they're bored or because they're depressed or because they have so much going on and taking their lives. And I'm like, Lord, I'm 63 years young, and I've always wanted to live when more than a dozen times I wasn't supposed to. More than two or three times I know they've spoken over me, and they said that I would not live, that I would not make it. I always wanted to live. Never wanted to die. I can't comprehend that. I can't imagine that. Now, I'm not going to tell you the enemy's not ever come to me and spoken negative things and said, you ought to do this or do that. And I was like, well, you done lost your mind. At this church, when I was pastoring here and went through this horrific car accident, and they didn't give me 2 cents for my life. They didn't think I was going to make it. Then they said I'd never walk again. And then they said I'd never use this arm again. Cody Campbell, I love you, sir. Cody Campbell would swing by the parsonage of a morning, and my wife and Cody Campbell would take a draw sheet and pick me up and set me out into a recliner. And Cody would go to work. And then at the end of work, he'd come back and help my wife slide me back over into that hospital bed. For almost 4 months, flat on my back in a hospital bed. I graduated to a wheelchair. Graduated from that to like a walker, a cane, a special shoe, brace, surgery. Folks, in the last 30-some years, I've had almost 20, right around 20 surgeries, and 17 or 18 of those were because of that accident. I am Humpty Dumpty. They put me back together again. And I'm not going to tell you there weren't times that it felt like my faith was going to wane, and I would struggle, and the enemy would use the word against me. Oh, if God really loves you, how's this working out for your good? He would quote Romans 8:28. How's this working out for your good? Where's your God now? My faith moved from faith to faith. Went from the faith that I just accepted and believed that you are God to I'm accepting and know you are sovereign God. I'm accepting and I'm knowing you are in control and you have my best interest at heart. You're working all things. Everybody say all things. You see, the one thing you're going through today is not the all things. It's like a puzzle. My mom worked puzzles as a kid growing up. I worked puzzles with her, and it kind of went from generation to generation. Now our kids work puzzles. Our grandkids work puzzles. It's nothing to go under the table to go eat with them, and you got puzzle everywhere. I'm like, come on, y'all. Finish the thing. And it's not these easy little five-piece puzzles. You're talking about 5,000 pieces, and everything looks like that window. All those colors. And you're going to try to put all that together. It's like, come on, somebody. Months and months and months. Well, the Lord let me know, Richard, this is one piece is what you see. I see from a different angle, and I see the whole puzzle complete. And you're going to like it when you see it one day when it's complete. You'll understand it all, but don't focus right now on the one piece and give up. Young lady, don't you focus on one thing that happens in your life, and you grow weary, and you get discouraged. No, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You acknowledge Him in all, not some, all of your ways, and He will direct your path. You move from faith to faith. That origin, the beginning, is going to be the end. He is the author and the finisher. Woo! Hallelujah! Of my faith. So I am here by the grace of God. Susan, I am here because of the goodness of God and God putting the right people at the right time, right place in my life to encourage me. And I'm here to do that today. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers or whom I serve as did my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I couldn't help but think about Brother and Sister Sloan. When I was reading this late last night, just getting back into it, refreshing my mind on some things, your mom and dad came to my mind, and I could see them sitting in the old church right over here where they would always sit, and I could see them singing and worshiping and hear their testimony. And your mom would stand up, and she's loud as I am, y'all. Oh, my Lord. She was loud, and she was unashamed. Brother Martin, I just want to tell you what God's done. And she just gets so excited. And I thought about you today when you were standing here. I could see your dad in you, and I could see your mom in you. I thought about you up here at this keyboard singing. I could see the influence your mom and dad had on your life, moving from faith to faith. What a great heritage. Whoo! And Paul says, Timothy, he said, I recognize there's something in you, but I've seen it before. He said, I saw it in your grandmother and in your mother. And he said, I'm persuaded, I believe it's in you as well. This enduring faith, this undaunting faith, this faith that will hold on and praise God through whatever comes your way. You've stood almost 25 years. This may be 25 years you've blessed this church, you and your family, to be here. Folks, I don't know how fortunate that you really believe and know you are. My wife tried to tell you, but it's the truth. There's 1,800 pastors giving up the ministry. 1,800 pastors give up the ministry. And I don't remember. Thank you. It's every month. I was thinking it was monthly. So that every month, young man, think about this. Every month, 1,800 pastors are leaving the ministry. Who's going to take their place? Who's going to step in and say, wait. God, you can use me. God, you see, and as a boy, that's all I knew to do. And that's what I cried. And as a man today, that's still all I know to do. God, here am I. You can use me. Remember where you came from. I greatly desire to see you. And then he goes on to exhort him. Remembering where you came from. Now, remembering where you are, I put you in remembrance. Where you're at, I want you to put you in remembrance that you stir up, not trouble. Don't stir up your imagination. There's too much speculative imagination in the body of Christ. You walk into a room, five people are talking, they quit talking, you speculate. I wonder what they were saying about me. Or you never heard anybody say, I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. If you knew what I was thinking, I'd be thinking, I hope and pray the Holy Spirit of God arrest your spirit and you are baptized with the Holy Spirit this day. If you knew what I was thinking, woo, hallelujah. My hope and prayer would be the faith of God would endure in you for many a year to come. Praise God. If you knew what I was thinking, I'd be thinking, I surrender all to the Savior. And today's the day I want to do that. That's what I'd be thinking. You ever had anybody say that? I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. I know what you meant by that look. Now, husbands probably do and wives do pretty much. You've been married 43 years. I know the look. There are some things we just don't want to talk about. He said, I'm stirring you up. He said, stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. People are running around today, and they're like, the Lord's coming back tomorrow, preacher. And he could. He could, folks. He could come back. But until then, I've been living 63 years of my life. I've been living between the resurrection time and the return of the Lord, the rapture. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to sit around just, okay, God, you're coming back? Or I'm going to say, what can I do for you? I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability. Wow, until he comes, I am going to be his prisoner until he comes. I am a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel until he comes. I'm going to know that he's given me a spirit, not of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. It's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And I love that. I couldn't help but think, I was telling my wife earlier as we were talking, I couldn't help think about this grace of God and how the just shall live by faith. Now the word just, if you take it from the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2 is where it originates that I use in my text here today, but it's mentioned in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38 if you're taking notes. It is a word called tzaddik. Tzaddik. And it's taken from a book of a man named a wrestler. So this is what I see. This is what I like to do. When I'm speaking, I'll say, turn your Bibles, if you would, to the gospel of belief. That's the gospel of John. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of the wrestler. How many would know that? The book of the embracer. The people are like, what? And I watch him, Pastor Tim, like, what did he say? Is that in the Bible? Well, that's what Habakkuk's name means. Habakkuk, his name means the wrestler, the embracer. Why? Because he wrestled with God, and then he embraced God's plan. You see, some of us, we're good at wrestling, but it's the embracing we have issues with. We really do, folks. He's saying, I'm right there with you. I do not like what is going on in certain circumstances, in certain realms, in our nation and in the world. I don't like the injustice. I don't like the things that are taking place. I do not like where we are headed. I wrestle with that. But I also embrace the truth of His Word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all the way. I also embrace the promise. Hey, listen, I didn't promise you would not have any trouble, but I promised you I'd be right there in the middle of it with you, and I will bring you through it. That's my hope. So America needs to come back to the place of embracing God as God, embracing His promise, embracing His power, trusting Him instead of wrestling. The church needs to do that. So in Romans 1, this word is used, and he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hold that if you will. The just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But no man is justified, no man is declared righteous by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10. Now, there's several in Hebrews 10 I really liked. Hebrews 10:38 is the key reference on this, but I'm going to come back to something else real quick. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I'll be really disappointed if you quit. I'll really be disappointed. I won't have any pleasure in that. It won't bring me no joy. It will sadden my heart to know you've just stopped and you've given up. You've abandoned that faith. You've become apostate to the truth, a renegade, a rebel. You see, that's what we were before we come to know Jesus as our Savior. We were renegades. We were rebels. We were lost. We were unlawful. We were lawless, the Bible talks about. But now we are under a new governance, a new law. And I love this. He says, this is so cool how I feel like the writer of Hebrews brings us back to this. He's talking in chapter 10. He's talking about the failure of the old covenant. He's let us know it was incomplete. Schoolmaster bringing us to Christ. I'm going to tell you something about the law. The law's not been done away with. People say, we don't have a law no more. We're under grace. No, the law has been fulfilled in Christ. And now because of Him, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Nothing righteous in me but in Him. My righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. But it's because of Him I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And some people take that righteousness and say, I can live like I want to live, do what I want to do, say what I want to say, be what I want to be. No, there is a cleansing process. There is a process we go through where we recognize I've been made righteous not by my works. I've been made righteous by His love, by His blood, by His word, by the person of Christ. So you see, some people go to church to get righteous. Some people pay tithe to get righteous. And those are good things. Some people do all these good deeds to get righteous, but it's not what makes us righteous. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wow. So here's what he says in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Everybody say confidence. Woo! Confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh, the sacrifice given veil, flesh torn, rent. We have access to God. We have a high priest over the house of God, which is Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled, here comes that justification now, that washing, because the word that we're using, that tzaddik, means lawful, righteous. It comes from a word to justify, to means to cleanse, to be turned to righteousness, or to be made righteous. He says, having this high priest, we can draw near, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And then we're supposed to provoke one another to love, not forsaking what you're doing here, assembling yourselves. Wow. We have an advocate with the Father. So moving from faith to faith, remembering where you came from to where you are to where you're going. All those are there. Reminding you, Pastor Tim, the price that was paid, the family members that cried out, Lord, saved him. Lord, used him. God blessed him. Help him to find the right wife, and he did. A godly woman. Thank you, Tracy. Helping his children to honor you. And that prayer was prayed for you when you were... Listen, I prayed that prayer over my children when my wife was still carrying them. Man, I wanted them... You know, if it's a girl, Lord, let her find the right husband. If it's a boy, let him find the right wife. I prayed for my kids. And then when they were born and I realized they had two girls, well, I just prayed over them. Lord, send the right man. Don't let him be a knucklehead. Don't make me have to hurt him, Lord. Oh, I could tell you some prayers that daddies pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, I tell you what. We'll talk after church. I got some good things for you. But remember where you came from. Remember where you are. You're in the middle of the fray. We're in the middle of the battle right now. This world, yes, it is fastly coming to an end. This life is fastly coming to a close. Now, I've heard that all my life. We're still here. But it doesn't mean it can't happen tomorrow. Or the next day. With the current direction we are heading, we will be a church in exile before too long. Mark it down at the current direction we're heading. Now, that does not say that we're not going to experience an end time revival. I believe there is an end time outpouring. I believe there's a revival coming. I believe that God took me, and I say this with all humility, I believe God took me and my wife from the flock there at Somerville that we've been faithfully serving for 14 and a half years. And this is what I told our international overseer, our presiding bishop. I said, I felt like David. I'm just minding my own business. I didn't jockey for this position. I didn't want this position. I've never aspired to be a state bishop. I'm just happy serving. I clean the toilets, I vacuum the carpet, I'll serve, I go to the hospital to see people. That's who I am. And somebody came to me and said, David, the Father needs you over here on the battlefield. We used to sing that song in the church. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Some of us got to get off the cruise ship to get back on the battlefield. We've had it our way too long, like Burger King. Hallelujah. They stand right now, in countries. Our brothers and sisters are standing. I've been with some of them, and they'll stand for 4 hours in the hot sun to have service. I've watched them when their country would be ravaged with tornadoes or storms or hurricanes or typhoons and all this stuff. They would come into church, mud. And they'd strike up a song, and they'd begin to sing and praise God. Can I just be bold enough to tell you in the many churches in America today, we wouldn't stand for that. We wouldn't stand for 4 hours. We wouldn't come, I used to sit in those old wooden pews that would pinch you, and you thought the Spirit, everybody, woo! They say, oh, hallelujah, Jesus. No, that thing just got me, y'all. Oh, hallelujah. See, I remember those days. Get a splinter. Oh, Lord, that was not fun at all. But today, we are blessed. And I'm not throwing, thank God for the carpet. We are far, far blessed from where we were at Lexington when we were your pastor in that little portable tabernacle leaning. We'd sing the song, lean, we were literally the word, leaning. And I'd have to move because the wasps would come out. We'd get to singing so loud and shaking the church building, you know, and worshiping. The wasps would come out of the ceiling and I'd have to, woo, hallelujah, Jesus, keep preaching. Hey, praise God. You remember that? I remember those days. So I thank God for a beautiful tabernacle we're in right now. Beautiful facility, padded pews. I'm not throwing off. I don't want to go back to the splinters and the pinching. I don't want to go back to that. This is good. But this is not what it's all about. Remember where we came from, where we are. Remember where we're going. We are a light, a city that is on a hill that cannot be hid. People are watching. We are salt. That's who we are. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands. We are his feet. We should be what Paul was telling Timothy. We should be telling the world. Remember where you came from. Remember, you were created as, and I said this some time ago in a service, and a young man looked at me like, bless you, God bless you. You're calling me a creature? Because I said, we have been created creatures of praise. He went, you call me a creature? I about lost it right when I was preaching. So I had to stop for a moment, go to that young man and say, Bible says we are a new creation. That means new creatures. We're a new creation in Christ. He goes, oh. He still didn't have a clue. He's like, oh, love his heart. But I'm telling you what, I challenged that young man and told him God had a future for his life. And God does have a future for your lives. Lexington, Victory Fellowship, I thank God for you. Our state is bettered because of you. Now, I am going to tell you now, I'm addressing you from the state level. I am proud of you. I am proud of your pastor and his family. I am proud of you. Keep up the good work. And let's continue to move from faith to faith. Don't waver. Don't wane. Don't give up. You keep keeping on. And when things come against you and say, you'll never do this, never do that, no, you just rebuke that and you keep keeping on. Listen, folks, we are nearing, I believe we are living in the 11th hour. We're nearing the midnight hour. I believe it's coming soon. But I want us to be able to take as many folks to heaven with us as we can. That's my heart's cry. I thank you for your kind attention. I'm going to ask my wife if she would. You want to, the song you were talking about doing, Sister Rhonda can join you if she would. And y'all can do that, I believe. Oh, it just came to me, Sister. While Sister Rhonda is coming, I'm going to strike a memory, remembering, okay, Rhonda? You can do it. But I'm going to strike a note. I've made up my mind for a long, long time that I would do something for the Lord. You remember that? And I'm surrendering my heart to see Jesus, surrendering from my soul deep inside. I've got to do it today. I want to give my heart away. Surrendering to the Lord all my life. This is a song she wrote. I'm really going back now, memory. Because in the song she says, I made up my mind for a long, long time. I would do something for the Lord. I'm not in, I'm not out, I'm just hanging about, existing
but not feeling.
You take it, find
feeling
your chord and
free.
Sing.
I'm
surrendering my heart to see Jesus.
Surrendering to the
soul deep inside. I've got to do it today. I want to give my heart away. Surrendering to you, Lord, all my life. Oh, what's a key you can sing that in?
I can't remember the lyrics.
All right, here you go. I'll give you a little bit more of it. It says, good intentions of mine.
not worth a nickel or dime, never accomplishing anything. You're not in, you're not out.
You're just hanging about.
Existing but not
you're
being
existing,
free.
You're existing but not being free.
So
I'd surrender my life
to
see Jesus.
Surrendering for my soul.
Surrendering my soul deep inside.
I've got to do it today.
Thank you. I've got to do it today. I've got to give my heart away. Surrendering to the Lord for life. I got to do it today. I got to give my heart away. Surrendering to the Lord for life. That's been a lot of years.
From one songwriter to another. I'm amazed, I'll be honest. The Holy Spirit has brought that song to my remembrance. Many times when we were struggling, many times when it was hard. Rhonda Sloan, that song, that word, kept me focused, moving from faith to faith. Genuine faith. Boy, I would sure not be doing God any justice right now while His Spirit is moving, not to give you an opportunity to surrender to Him for life. Oh God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for the example you've given us through your word and the examples in our lives of the people that have surrendered their lives to you, of the people who have served and ministered, of the people who've come alongside of us to encourage us, to lift us up, to pray for us. May this sweet fellowship here, Lord, of Victory Fellowship Church, know that we are the body of Christ. One church in South Carolina in 105 different locations, but we are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So they're not in this by themselves. Oh, Lord, people are praying. Brothers and sisters are standing alongside of them to encourage them. So in the middle of the battle, when they feel like I'm all alone, may they see, first and foremost, you are with us. And you have brought people into our lives to stand with us today. I honor you. God, if there's any under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as their Savior, let them remember where they came from, remember where they are, and remember where they're going. And if it's not in that right direction, if they're not on the straight and narrow, if they're not following Jesus, may today be that day they have an about face. They turn around and go a different direction. They repent. They have a change of mind. A change of heart, a change of life. May they accept your love today, Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will.